Good morning, Tom. How did you enjoy your bye week off?
Hi, guys. Good morning. It was a good week. We got a lot of football stuff done and had a few days of a little mental break, but we're back at it today. So it's actually great to be back driving into work.
How many days in this past week did you absolutely positively turn off football from your brain? One, two, less than that, more than that?
Oh, God.
I know the answer's none, right?
It's none, especially I was talking to my wife about it 2 days ago, and I said, God, you know what? I just love football. Because when it's Sunday and everyone else is playing and you're not, it's just you're a fish out of water. So you're watching, I'm updating my phone every, if I don't have, not around a TV, I have to update my phone every 5 minutes to see what's going on with every score. And it's probably more anxious when you're not playing because you're just, you're watching these games and thinking about the outcomes and watching how teams are doing. And that's just, that's the life of a football player on and off week. So there wasn't many moments, I would say, where I'm not thinking about the game.
Well, you look like you're having a good time. Your wife tweeted out pictures of you, of the family on the beach, and people up here were worried. Did you get sunburned or anything? Any like jellyfish bites or anything, Tom?
No, I was pretty safe. She loves that Instagram, so she, was keeping everyone updated. Sometimes she doesn't even tell me. I'm like, what did you put? Why am I in that picture?
Yeah, I do think you should have left your bathing suit on in that photo.
But it was particularly fastened.
Does it ever seem like it's not worth the trouble when you have 4 or 5 days and you get away and you go to these tropical climes? Do you say to your wife, can I just stay on the couch with the clicker and rest?
I know. The thing is with me, it's because, for 7 months of the year, it's so much football. It's literally every day, we're doing football and playing, but there's an urgency every week and every moment. Even when I get home at night, there's, I'm thinking about the next day and, okay, we got to talk about third down and the red zone and what are we going to do 2 minute? And I'm talking to Josh, twice a night. For that one brief break during the season, you actually get some real quality time with your family and you get to kind of, for however long it could be, 36 hours, you do get a chance to kind of connect with your kids and your family, and it's a nice thing. It goes away pretty quickly because that's just the way football season is, but it's a little bit of a mental break for a brief period of time, but it's just nice to be able to spend that time with my family.
Does the offensive performance that you guys demonstrated against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I know the answer to this, obviously it makes it a lot sweeter. Is that the outlier, or is that what you think you're going to see, and I don't mean 55 points, from this offense going forward for the second half of the season, Tom?
Well, look, our expectations have never changed, with the way that we perform offensively. And the reason why you score a lot of points is because you execute well. You hit the plays that are there. When you get defenses that you may expect to get and you have a great play called versus that defense, you've got to really take advantage of the opportunity. I mean, football is about matchups and it's about execution. And when both those things come together, you can have pretty good nights offensively. And if you execute really well offensively, it's hard for good defenses to stop you. But if you execute poor, you could call the best play versus the defense that you're looking for, and if I make a bad throw, then we're unproductive. So we're trying to be productive on a consistent basis, and we talk about it in practice, we talk about it before the games. You always go into the game thinking that you have a really good plan of attack, and then it comes down to how well the players can go out and execute that. So we've done, the last game we scored 55 points, that was our best night of execution. We played really well, and how we fare against Carolina, we got to put the work in practice. We got to be prepared so that we can go out there and play with anticipation, and you can play, to 100% of your aggressiveness if you're really confident in what you're doing. So there's definitely games where you gain confidence in what we're doing, and you think, okay, man, this is what we're capable of if it all goes well. And that's what we're trying to, that's what we're going to go try to do this next week. This week we're playing one of you know, the best defenses in the league. So, you know, our margin of error will be even less. But, you know, we still expect to go out there and play really well. That's, you know, that's the expectation for the offense.
Your coach was on the station here yesterday and was pretty expansive talking about hazing and what's going on down in Miami. You're the senior player on the team. You've been there forever. You're a leader in that locker room. How do you deal with it every year when you go in? How do you treat rookies? And what is your thoughts overall, I guess, on the Incognito Martin situation?
Well, I've been a part of one locker room in my, well, two really, you know, being in Michigan and being in, you know, the Patriot locker room. And, you know, we got a great group of guys who, and we have great respect for one another. And it starts with Coach Belichick and Mr. Kraft and Jonathan and the leadership that they bring. So we don't want to do anything to, you know, misrepresent what's going on in our locker room. We want to be, you know, good role models. We want to win football games. And I think that's what it comes down to. And we show up every day trying to do our job and really not let anything else get in the way of that. Because, you know, if there's issues in your locker room, if there's issues that are outside of the realm of your own opponent that you're dealing with, it just takes away from what you're trying to accomplish. So Coach Belichick has always done a great job of keeping the players focused on our opponent, and that's where our energy needs to go. So it's an unfortunate thing. There's been a lot of, you know, awareness brought to the situation, you know, based on what happened down in Miami, but, you know, that's their issue to deal with, and certainly not an issue that any of us Patriots want to deal with, or, you know, we're not really concerned with that, to tell you the truth. We're concerned with how we're going to do our best to prepare for the biggest challenge of our year this week.
Tom, I've heard varying stories and varying reactions from players and former players. Some say, yeah, that's the way it is. It's vulgar. It's crude. It's the locker room environment is one way. And then I've heard a whole bunch of other players say, no, that is the aberration. When somebody like Richie Incognito is setting the tone with that kind of language, and I don't mean just the N-word, but, you know, defecating in your mouth and slapping your mother and I'm going to kill you and all that sort of stuff. In your estimation, and I know you've only been in one pro locker room, is that the rule or is that the exception in the National Football League?
Well, I don't know what, I mean, I don't take a poll on those things. I don't, no one knows. I mean, you just know what you see. And, you know, when you're around Teddy Bruschi and when you're around Rodney Harrison and Willie McGinnis, and those are the guys I've been lucky enough to be around. Junior Seau and Troy Brown and Kevin Falk. And those are my teammates. So, I mean, those are type of guys. And you guys know those guys well. It's just, they were focused on showing up and doing their job, and you know, we've had a pretty good record of success because of the character and quality of the individual in a locker room. And that's been most important to Mr. Kraft, Coach Belichick, in bringing guys in to say, okay, you know, what kind of person is this? How will they fit into the locker room? Are they, you know, a Patriot kind of player, which is really putting the team first and going out there and helping us win games, playing your role, doing whatever the coach asks you to do to win. So that's what I've been around. That's all I know. I don't partake in, you know, anything that's different than that. So I have no idea what goes on in Jacksonville or in San Diego or in Denver, or, you know, there's probably other guys that have been a part of different locker rooms that may know differently, but I know it works for us and it works pretty well. So there's really no reason to change, you know, what we do.
I was going to say, it's obviously what's going on here, Tom, works. And Belichick gave you guys credit, the leaders, the players in that locker room and how they police it. When you were a kid, when you were a rookie, what did you have to do? And what do you, as a leader now, a veteran, what do you consider acceptable? Rookies just carrying pads or rookies buying coffee and donuts? Is that the extent of the
indoctrination?
I wouldn't even call it hazing. The treatment you give young players?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always a very, you know, respectful attitude in our locker room. And it's, you know, you expect the rookies to be able to contribute on the field, and you want them to be able to really be able to express themselves so that they're not intimidated by older players or by, you know, because you need them to be able to go out and produce. And that's the most important thing. Who's ever on the team, you only have 53 roster spots. There's always turnover in the league. You're always going to have rookies. You're always going to have second-year players and third-year players. And you're going to have new players, free agents, that come in and have to learn what to do. So you just want an environment where everyone can show up and be able to be themselves and play with confidence. So so they can help the team win. And, you know, donuts or, you know, I know we always cut the guy's hair, and it's a fun thing. It's a camaraderie thing. It's kind of a group, you know, sacrifice, you know, we're all in it together type of thing. And it's done in a playful way, but hopefully it's never done out of disrespect, and it's done as more to bring the team together and not drive the team apart. So those are things that have just, you know, for us, you know, we think are, you know, fun camaraderie. You know, we have a Halloween party. I mean, those are fun things for the team to do, so you can all kind of do something outside of the realm of the X's and O's where you can feel a sense of kinship with your fellow teammates. And, you know, the veteran players set the tone, the younger players follow, and, you know, that's what creates really a, you know, a strong, cohesive locker room where you love the guys that you play with, you're willing to commit yourself and sacrifice your own well-being for what's in the best interest of the team, and that's how you go out and win games.
Were you fortunate in that you were kind of under the radar, your sixth-round pick and, you know, fourth-string quarterback as a rookie? You weren't that, you know, first-round bonus baby type of rookie who got singled out, correct?
That was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I was not in a position where I had to contribute my first year. I could really take the time to, you know, understand what pro football was about, and I had a great example in Drew Bledsoe of how to carry yourself and the toughness that he brought to our team, and, you know, I really learned so much from him. And also, John Fries, a veteran quarterback, watched him prepare. Michael Bishop was a younger player that, you know, did a lot of, you know, had a lot of really positive skills that I learned from. So I was just able to sit back and watch those guys and try to learn from a distance while I was finding my own role. And I was lucky enough to be able to stick around. And, you know, that was a great part of my rookie season.
Is this defense, Tom, you said earlier, it's got to be the best you played this year, right? They've allowed 115 points this year, second fewest in the NFL, and they're rolling right now, it seems.
Well, yeah, they went into San Francisco and beat San Fran, who, you know, could have very easily won the Super Bowl. We know what kind of team they're all about. So it's a tough team. They're physical. Their front seven is as good as anybody. Their pass rush, their run stoppers, they got playmakers in the secondary, so it's got to be our best game. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And on Monday Night Football is an important game for them. It's an important game for us, and, you know, we'll see what we're made of. So we've got a chance to kind of evaluate where we're at and what we need to do better going forward based on all the self-scout, and had some extra time to prepare for him. So, you know, we've got to go out there and execute it. You know, we think we got a good plan. It's just a matter of us going out and practicing it and getting better at it and seeing if we can be 100% prepared for, you know, the challenge ahead. I'm excited for our team.
Tom, did you watch the San Francisco Carolina game or just saw highlights and we'll look at the film going forward?
No, I saw the whole thing.
Yeah. It seemed to me, I think Kaepernick was sacked six times, and it could have been 12 if not for being fleet of foot. And I thought of you a couple of times, because I think he's probably like a tenth of a second faster in the 40 than you are. So you're going to have to make sure your offensive linemen are paying attention, I think, right?
Yeah, maybe I should do some extra wind sprints this week or something like that, some extra jump ropes. I could try to avoid those guys because they don't give you a lot of time to sit back there and figure out what's going on. That's the strength of any defense. I always say the guys that can rush four rushers and still get to the quarterback, you know, are some of the best defenses that I've ever played. And this is one of those teams that, you know, they let it rip. And when they're coming after the quarterback, I mean, you can't be standing back there patting the ball trying to figure out what's going on. You better get rid of it because they're coming. And they got, it's not like it's one guy. They got, you know, they got three or four guys that can all get to the quarterback. So, yeah, Kaepernick can move. They still got him six times and felt like he was scrambling all day. So, you know, hopefully we have a good plan to, you know, try to slow those guys down. But, you know, I know they're coming. You know, I'm not going to be, you know, standing back there seeing how long I can hold on to the ball.
Hey, it's customary during the bye week for publications to put out their, you know, midterm grade reports. And I'm reading from the Boston Globe this morning, and you get a B- from the Globe. Passing average 250 yards, down a little bit. Lowest touchdown down total on par for 23, 57.1 completion rate. They gave you a B-. What would you give yourself? And in spite of all those numbers being down, your statistics being down, the team is 7-2. What grade does Tom Brady give Tom Brady?
Well, I can certainly do better. I mean, I'm not going to get into, you know, my, you know, grades and so forth. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. So I can do better. There's certainly things that I need to do better to help our team win. And, you know, I talk about those things with my coach and, you know, figure out how to do that on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can definitely play better, and that's what I hope to go out and be able to do.
And no, you would like to play till you're 50, and you have no intention of retirement, or talking retirement. But everyone always asks this question of how long will Belichick do this for? And my theory is he'll do it as long as you do it, and you two will walk off the stage together. You think there's a chance that happens? Do you ever discuss it with your coach?
No, we never talked about it, but I'll tell you, there's no coach I'd ever want to play for other than him. So, I mean, he's the best coach to me and that's, you know, ever coached. And the way that he gets our team prepared, the way he handles the overall organization and is pretty phenomenal. And in this day and age of pro football, which is very different than the way it was even when I came into the league, there's so much turnover, free agency, the salary cap. You know, for our team to be able to do what it does, you know, on a yearly basis is so remarkable from a player standpoint to think of what Coach Belichick has to manage on a yearly basis. So, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to play for a long time. So, you know, I hope he wants to coach that long, but. You know, I plan on doing this for a hell of a lot longer than I've done it thus far.
You know, Tom, in this league of attrition where guys are going down all the time, quarterbacks as well, when you see Cutler or you see Rodgers go down, then everybody's evaluating their backup quarterback and how many games can they win, how efficient can they be with the backup. Can you give us any sense, based on what you've seen from Ryan Mallett in practice, if he were called upon, how prepared he is to lead the Patriots going forward?
Well, I mean, I love Ryan. I mean, I love Ryan and his attitude, what he brings to our team and the role that he plays. And not only is just a backup quarterback, but he also does all the scout team reps every single day and gives our defense a look at what the other team is trying to do. So Ryan is a great, got a ton of skill. And, you know, when he gets his opportunity, I know he's going to take advantage of it. So I always tell him, you know, you never know when you're going to get it. And just like I didn't know when I was going to get it.
Right.
Like you said, this is a game of attrition. It could be the first play of the next game, and you got to be just as prepared as I am to go out there and play. And he's done that. He takes that challenge on. It's a tough role for, you know, a backup quarterback because, look, you're always on the edge of your seat trying to prepare while you're not getting all the reps. So he brings it every day, I'll tell you that. He brings it every day to work, and he's one of my best buddies on the team, and I look forward to the chance when he does get his opportunity because – I know he's going to go out and do a great job with it.
All right, we end on a lighter note, Tom. The quarterback question of the week brought to you by Crescent Credit Union, online at crescentcredit.org. What's the most notable bye week event either you've been a part of or you've heard a teammate put together for himself?
Oh, man. Most of the guys just get away. I mean, I know a lot of guys probably go back to their college. If you're younger, you probably go back to their college mm-hmm. a little bit more and see games, and some guys go home. You know, the family guys, some guys stick around. It's all a little bit different. So I've had some good ones. I used to go to, when I was single, before I was married, I used to go to Vegas with all my buddies and see how much fun we could have in 48 hours, which was always a good time. But now it's probably just more being with my kids. So it evolves like all of our lives, but, you know, it's not for better or worse. But the best part for me is driving back in this time of year to go back to work because there's nothing better than playing on Monday Night Football and, you know, playing against one of the best teams in the NFC. So that's, you know, that's what it's all about for me. It's time to get back to work. It's football season. And, you know, it's time for us to go out and see what we're made of here in the second half of the year.
You probably didn't consider this, but I think Michigan could probably use another pep talk from you, Tom. It's not going well.
They've had a rough one. It feels like those Alabama's and Ohio's, I mean, it feels like they're undefeated every year. It's quite a bit different than pro football when, you know, you get the caliber athlete that they get. I mean, they get, you know, 10 first round picks a year, it seems like. You know, Michigan is, you know, we're hanging in there. It's season's not over. We still got a few big games left, but, you know, that they're not really in the national title hunt, unfortunately.
All right, Tom, back to work. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, take care.
Tom Brady.